We knew it was time to move on. I got an opportunity at Museum of the Bible, and I couldn't be happier. Museum of the Bible is a great organization, and every day I get to go into the office and do one simple thing, and that's just invite people to engage with the Bible. It's really simple.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
HBU is honored to have the Director of Communications, Jeremy Burton, and he's the author of Manifesto on Social Media Influence. You have got a lot of responsibility, and you're making lots of waves through digital media in this $1 billion museum that's opening November 17 in Washington, D.C. How did you get there?
It's just God. It's God placing me just at the right time, and it was a time in our life that we knew we were transitioning, and really just a few weeks after it was time to go, we knew it was time to move on. I got an opportunity at Museum of the Bible, and I couldn't be happier. Museum of the Bible is a great organization, and every day I get to go into the office and do one simple thing, and that's just invite people to engage with the Bible. It's really simple.
Okay, give us the digital footprint of Museum of the Bible across the various social media platforms.
So right now, and we are growing by leaps and bounds, so this is going to be a lot different even minutes after people hear these words, but we're right at about 700,000 connection points across all of our digital channels. We're the biggest is on Facebook. We're super proud of our Facebook efforts. We have a little over 600,000 people that like us on Facebook. We actually just started our Spanish Facebook presence as well, so we're in multiple languages now. We have about 65,000 likes on that channel. And every day, every month, we're reaching millions of people and just starting conversations about the Bible, people to hear about the history and impact of the Bible. And we're just going to keep growing. You know, we're really gearing up for that launch of the museum in November of 2017.
Now, Jeremy, this is stupendous because June of 2015, you started and MOTB had 60,000 likes on Facebook.
Yeah, we were around 60. And now we've actually surpassed the Smithsonian. And again, we're just going to keep going. We're going to keep going and get more people so that we can share these stories.
Is the Museum of the Bible and digital, rather, could we look at them as synonyms? I mean, it seems like this museum is different than the Louvre in Paris or so many that we've been to. My wife and I have been throughout Germany in the museums. This is a different one.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful, and it's going to be really a centerpiece in Washington, D.C. It's right there with all of these world-class museums. One of the things that's going to set it apart is that it will be one of the most technologically advanced museums in the world. You know, as you walk in, you'll be handed a digital guide. It's a tablet that will guide you through your museum tour. So you can actually program your own tour and say, I've got 2 hours, and I want to go see Bible in America. I want to go see Dead Sea Scroll fragments, and I want to walk through the Hebrew Bible. And it will actually take you through that time and tell you, hey, you've taken too long at the Liberty Bell. You need to go move on if you want to finish your tour. And then you get to save all that with you. All that information that you get, that you learn along the way, you actually get to save in a profile so that you can go back and continue to learn about it. And the Bible, it makes sense for us to do this because the Bible has been at the center of technological advancement for years.
Indeed. I mean, that's the misnomer among scientists, is that there weren't scientists that were refuting some of the early fallacies about the Earth and the hemisphere, et cetera. Did you innovate that technology, MOTB, that it will be in the digital iPad?
So the tablet itself is actually using some patented technology. So you actually take it and go to a table, and whenever you set it down, it will tell that it's your iPad, or it's just a tablet, and you're able to feed your tour onto it. And that the way that it knows that it's your tablet is actually patented technology. There's also some new tech in there that will map you within 6 inches of where you are within the museum. And that is really on the cutting edge. I don't know of any museums that are doing it in the world right now, especially not to this accuracy. So it's really astounding.
So when I bring my grandkids and I've got my wife and maybe a few other friends with me, will I be able to GPS them while I'm going off on my own direction?
Yeah, they'll each have their own device, and you'll be able to see where they are, and you all will know where to meet up. Maybe you all want to meet up at the restaurant, and you can see how they're getting there and kind of where they're at in the museum.
Now, we have professors, and we have all kinds of people that interact with HBU that the digital is kind of a foreign thing. And when you talk about search engine optimization or search engine marketing or pay-per-click or Google indexing, they're saying, how is this relevant to me? You've been in the higher ed world at ORU. Mm-hmm. What was your position there?
I was executive director for university relations at Oral Roberts.
That's a pretty major position for a large university, 3,800 students. How important is it for people to get literate on what is happening in the digital world?
It's critical because our entire communications has changed. All of our communication style has changed. Now this is the way people are communicating with each other. You can't believe how much time people spend on Facebook, and they're getting their news from Facebook. They're getting all their connections with family from Facebook. I mean, the conversation has totally changed now, and it's not, hey, so how are you? It's, hey, how's your grandma? I saw on Facebook that she was sick.
It's true.
So we have this opportunity, and it's both good and bad. There's good to that, and then there's bad that's going on. We see it every day that there's bad things that come from social media. But organizations like HBU, organizations like Museum of the Bible, what a great opportunity to reach millions and millions of people with just great information. And we need to seize that opportunity.
Is there any kind of biblical imperative? Because when I think of the average church or parachurch today, you know, they're putting out signs, they're putting an ad in the paper maybe. I mean, it makes you wonder if the Silicon Valley geniuses that really reshaped our culture and the world, is the church behind the game?
I think some of them are. I think some of them are reticent to get involved because it's scary. There is a lot of dissenting opinion on Facebook. There's a lot of people that will attack you, but that shouldn't be a deterrent to use social media. And as these digital natives start to come up and as they start to become a bigger part of our population, we have to be able to reach them. And I think really the church has an obligation to figure out what that looks like. Now, again, it all depends on what your organization is and what your target is. So you have to look at that and go, well, what are they on? Even within the social media sphere, there are still people in age ranges that tend towards different social media platforms.
You know, right, because the high school kids are on Snapchat, they're not mm-hmm. so much on Facebook. What's the demographic on Facebook?
Facebook's going to skew a little older. It's going to skew 35 plus. But like every other platform, you can't say every single person fits into that narrow focus. And honestly, we live in a global society and some of it's regional. So there's some regions in the world that may not be the typical demographic on Facebook. So it's a little going to skew a little older in the U.S., but you may go down to Paraguay and it may skew younger because that's the platform that everyone uses.
Could we have ever dreamed of an age where the president would have 40 million Twitter followers where within milliseconds he could respond to something happening?
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, and it's an awesome power because at one time, that person has a platform that is solely theirs that they can do. They're not reliant on a broadcast to be able to get their message out. They can do it at once. I think it's incredibly fascinating that so we have President Obama started his Twitter account, the very first POTUS Twitter account. And we actually, yes, as the inauguration happened, we actually got to see the transition of the Twitter account. So now going to President Trump. And yep. And who would have thought that would have even been a thing? You know, President Obama certainly changed the game. And then in this last election, I would say on both sides, social media was a big factor in terms of them getting to their audiences. And so as prominent as technology was back whenever President Obama had his first term, now in this election, we see social media as even more prominent. It's not going away. So we either embrace it and reach more people or continue to do what we've always done and get the same results.
You know, we were recently at the National Cathedral for the presidential prayer dedication service, and I thought it was interesting. I could get on my iPhone and I could go to Fox that was streaming it live, hit a couple of buttons, and instead of putting an image on the screen, I allowed all my friends to watch live. And one of my friends was in Europe, and one of my friends was in Israel. And so I'm sitting in D.C. There's a global connectedness now, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. So we went through, our family went through a really trying time. We had a son that was born with kidney problems. And eventually we knew he'd need a transplant. And so 2.5 years ago, we did kidney transplant. And I had the distinct privilege of getting to be his donor.
Wow.
So we went to Facebook. We didn't share often, but whenever we needed prayer, we went to Facebook and went out there. And I found out later that we had people all over the world praying for us. And it was one of those moments that I was a little taken aback, because why would this person in Japan be praying for me? And I remembered it was at this I was at a conference, and we happened to connect on Facebook. I honestly didn't even think about him being there. People all over the nation had a friend of mine, a Jewish friend in Israel, that was praying for me. It was praying for me a lot, and they're still reaching out to me. But you go, just that one little moment from a guy who lives in Oklahoma, the world is connecting with it. And really, everyone has that opportunity through social media and to connect with all these different walks of life, all these different types of people. But we have to be careful in what we post. But it's an awesome connection point.
It is. I mean, ISIS proves that, eh? They're recruiting. Now, Director of Communication, you came to HBU. We're grateful that you came. And today you advise certain of our team members on strategies that you're using through Museum of the Bible. And I know we don't have time like for the entire presentation, but could you synoptically kind of just take us from June 15, 16,000 likes on Facebook to 625,000 likes, and we're getting ready for this explosion in November 2017. Tell us the steps. Tell us what you employ.
You know, the first thing you have to do is make for sure that you have great content and you have basically a content funnel where you're constantly feeding that in. And that's really, we spent the first time, it had already started whenever I had begun. I have a really great social media manager and a vice president that I work with that had already started that process. So we had great content and it was getting out there regularly, but we had a new thing coming on, and we actually do something at Museum called The Book. It's a 1 minute audio feature that goes out via radio every weekday. And we went, well, what can we do with that? And one of the things that we thought about was, well, let's take that audio feature and let's put it to video. Let's tell the story visually. And so we started doing that, and it just started building and it started growing. And then we found, well, let's do some other things. Let's do some other innovative things. So we had a new fly-through of the museum. And if you haven't seen it, it's really great. It actually takes you through, brings the museum to life. And we had it in a 90-second form. We started to promote that, and it was great. Then we did a 360 hard hat tour of the museum, and that did really great. And we just kept building momentum and building momentum. So now we're at the point that As we're growing in likes, we're getting a lot more engagement on our social media platforms because our content is really great. People are seeing these consistent content points that are all excellent. They're all academically sound. And so whenever we put an ad in front of them and say, hey, we want you to be our friend, we want you to like our page, they look at our thread and they go, wow, this is really great stuff, I'm gonna like them. That's how we've been able to grow so fast.
So of the various platforms of Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or Facebook and some of the others, your favorite, Facebook?
Yeah, my favorite's Facebook because it is the biggest player in the market. If you look at the stats, it's just the largest out there. I think I saw a stat the other day that if Facebook were a country, it'd be the second largest country in the world. So we want to go after the second largest country in the world. Let's go get them, and then we'll get the others. And then that content strategy will then drive some of the other platforms. But it can't fool you. You can't talk on Facebook like you talk on Instagram. Instagram, they want beautiful pictures. Facebook, they want more content. Twitter's more in the moment, is a little more news driven. They're looking for more inspirational quotes. Those always do well. So we try and tailor it for the platform. And then really what's awesome, and anyone who's watching, social media gives you a chance to really see which content is hitting the hearts of the people that you're trying to get. You can quickly see if this thing or that thing, if a picture with a quote on it versus a Facebook Live video is driving people to engage with you. What is that content? So we know something that if we ever post anything about veterans, people love it. We have a really cool Bible in our collections that is called the Heart Shield Bible. It's a small pocket Bible that has a gold plate over it that was meant to put in your front pocket. And in case you were shot, there's a chance that the bullet could be caught by the metal shield. It was given out in World War I and II. Wow. And people just went crazy over that. And we went, okay, we have something here. So anytime we have a veterans holiday, we want to honor veterans and we want to tell how the story of the Bible connected with American military.
And then let's talk about Facebook Live. We know there are a lot of people doing it who should not be doing it, saying a lot of silly, stupid stuff, but Facebook Live is this new innovation. How are you all utilizing it?
We do Facebook Live a couple of times a week. So we may do something with a curator where they show an artifact and they tell a little bit about that artifact, or we may go live from, we're actually going to go to DC tomorrow and we'll do a Facebook Live from the museum site and just show how it's progressing. Facebook is really favoring their live videos, and so it's a great opportunity for you to get out there and get more people, because Facebook's going to push it out into people's queues a little better because they're trying to grow that platform. But I think you're right. You got to make for sure the content's right. So you always have to go in with a plan of what you're going to do and make for sure that you do it with excellence.
You know, Kerry Summers helped me kind of put the pieces together on the Museum of the Bible. Just a few months ago, we were in Israeli Adolescent Psychiatric Hospital. And I was in a small classroom with students outside of Tel Aviv, watching them use the Bible curriculum that MOTB has produced with an Israeli company. And Kerry said that day something that, you know, rarely am I struck like I was struck that day. He said, the museum is not the end all. It is a musician. It is a missional global center, and the digital curriculum of the Bible is designed to go global. Wow. Now, I saw it, and of course, these young people, some of them have been adolescents who've been victimized by terror. You know, as we know in the geography of Israel, a number of challenges. And these kids, it's been transformative to them. 100,000 Israeli students using it. Can you just elaborate on that? I think it is one of the, it took me a while to get to that discovery point, that this was not just about a museum, as avant-garde and digital as it is, but it's about a mission center with a digital curriculum. Mm-hmm. What's your thought?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, we have the museum. We're certainly proud to open it. But if you think about how many millions of people a year would it take, and how many years would it take to get everyone in the world to the museum? I mean, it'd take hundreds of years to make that happen. And so things like the curriculum are able to take the history narrative and impact of the Bible, and through technology, put it in the hands of people who wouldn't ordinarily get it. So yeah, there are thousands and thousands of Israeli public school kids that are now going through this and learning more about the Bible. And it actually is one of the favorite classes in those schools, is whenever they get that and they get to hold the tablet and they get to interact with the pieces, and it really makes the Bible come to life for this smartphone generation. All these digital natives, this is their love language. So it's a great opportunity. And then things like traveling exhibits that we still do and are doing around the world through our research initiatives. There is more going on at Museum of the Bible than just the museum that's in Washington, D.C. And it's really exciting. Even our social media efforts, yes, they're for awareness of the museum, but because of the content that we're creating, we're actually fulfilling the mission of the museum through our social media channels to invite all people to engage with the Bible.
That's absolutely fantastic. HBU partners with MOTV through your Passages program. Would you just say a word about that? An opportunity June of 2017 for a student at HBU to go to Israel for $500. And I mean, that is an incredible itinerary you have over there.
Oh, it's a great program. And anyone that has an opportunity to do it should do it. They're taking a student group, student leaders to go over to Israel and really just learn about Israel and what it is. And if you want the Bible to really come to life for you, go on that trip. Go into the land, walk the soil. It's absolutely life-changing, because then whenever you read about a shepherd in the desert, you can see what that really is, and it's not what you think. You can watch all the videos you want, but to actually stand in it, hear the ground crunching beneath your feet, to smell the smells of Israel, it's really deeply impactful. So anyone that goes, especially for that type of price, I mean, what an opportunity. What an opportunity.
Now, you have the book Manifesto on Social Media Influence, and we're reading it on the screen. Tell us why you wrote it, how people can get it.
I felt compelled to get people to think about the power that's in their hands. So we live in an era right now where the individual has more influence than ever in human history. At the push of a button, even the mom next door or a young high school student can reach hundreds of people. Everyone that I know has at least a couple of hundred friends that they're connected with. And so it's so easy to have influence. Now the question is how do we wield that? So Winston Churchill said, with great power comes great responsibility. And that's really what this book does, is it lays out 12 principles that we should abide by to be good citizens on social media and actually promote good and not do harm. You know, the Bible says that the power of life and death's in the tongue, and whoever loves it eats its fruit. I think that that's true of the thumbs now. And so we have an obligation with the power that we're given to do it right. And so, but we needed a set of standards. As I looked out on the landscape, the entire thought landscape on digital and social media, there was really no one setting standards. And we should have something. We should have something to strive towards. And everyone from every walk of life that I've talked to about these concepts have all been in. I mean, you should go through, again, the presidential cycles are great. No matter what side of the aisle you were on, it was a contentious election cycle. And there was a lot of, I know people, just talked to someone this week that said, I turned off my Facebook page because I was tired. I was tired of hearing it. I was tired of reading about it. And so I'm really hopeful that people will grab this book and grab a hold of its concepts.
How do they get it, Jeremy?
They go to my website, jeremycburton.com. That's no cost. You can go there and download it for free.
Now, just before we wrap up, any serious professor that I know is into continuing research and publishing. And many of them, this whole social media digital thing doesn't come naturally. You have come from higher ed. What's your advice to those?
If you take it on, it's going to make you a better communicator. So most of the people in academia that I know is it's the adage of why use 10 words when 200 will do. Now you're limited on how many words you can use. And if you use too many on Facebook doesn't have a character count, but people will stop reading what you wrote. So you have an opportunity to reach more people with messages that are important to you, that you have a passion for, if you do that, and really build networks. You could build niche networks of people, which is great. But I think the big thing is it'll make you a better communicator, because it's going to force you to think through what are the most important points of what you want to say.
We've been talking to Jeremy Burton, who's the Director of Communications, Museum of the Bible, author of Manifesto on Social Media Influence. Jeremy, thank you for being here. We look forward to seeing the opening and the continued growth of Museum of the Bible.
Thanks. We'll see you in November 2017.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.